And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
The race is on, and Christian Horner has been cleared of allegations made against him, meaning he remains as Red Bull team principal. But what's next, and will there be any knock-on effects? I'm Ed Straw, and joining me to tackle today's big talking point in the Bahrain Grand Prix paddock is Scott Mitchell-Mau. Well, Scott, this has been hanging over Red Bull Racing for several weeks now. As we've mentioned a few times on the podcast, we couldn't get into it while the investigation was live. So what exactly has Red Bull said and done?
Well, I'll start just by reading the Red Bull spokesperson's statement. This comes from Red Bull GmbH, so the parent company, not Red Bull Racing, the F1 team. The independent investigation into the allegations made against Mr. Horner is complete, and Red Bull can confirm that the grievance has been dismissed. The complainant has a right of appeal. Red Bull is confident that the investigation has been fair, rigorous, and impartial. The investigation report is confidential and contains the private information of the parties and third parties who assisted in the investigation, and therefore we will not be commenting further out of respect for all concerned. And it finishes by saying Red Bull will continue striving to meet the highest workplace standards. So, says quite a bit, but no real detail. The core takeaway is obviously the point that the grievance has been dismissed. There was actually a little bit of debate in the paddock from some of the people I've spoken to about what does that actually mean. It's quite strange and specific terminology. You wouldn't normally see it. I expected a bit more terminology saying cleared of any wrongdoing or something like that, but that's the language they've gone with. Maybe it's a second language thing as well, given this obviously originates in Austria. But it's an emphatic underlining of the situation, but obviously, as it mentions as well, the complainant has a right of appeal, so we don't actually know 100% if this is over yet.
Plus, we should also note this isn't a formal legal process, so there's always legal avenues to be explored as well. So there's no indication that that will be taken, but it's worth noting. So inevitably, Scott, everyone listening will want to know the full details of what the grievance was, who was involved, why he was cleared. What can we add on that?
Very, very little. As I've mentioned in the statement, they want to keep this confidential. They are preaching confidentiality. They obviously... We only have the company's word on how this has been handled for starters, but you can't. It's hard to say this, but you have to take it on trust. We don't have a choice. We have to accept that this is the way it's been done because Red Bull has the information, and Red Bull's not going to reveal the detailed report. There has obviously been a lot of speculation about who it might have involved and what might have happened. I've probably heard a dozen different versions in the F1 paddock, and I don't think it's not right, proper, or probably legal for us to relay some of them, given the nature of the claims involved. We're definitely not going to engage in that kind of wild speculation. I know that some details leaked in the Dutch media, but I'm not 100% convinced that all of those details have been corroborated by the report, shall we say. There are some suggestions, certainly within the Red Bull camp, that is not an accurate reflection of what went down. So, yeah, if you're looking for identities and specific details of what was alleged, what was proven, what wasn't proven, we haven't got that, and I dare say we won't be getting that either.
Yeah, I suspect it's going to be a case of that'll never be entirely revealed. And obviously there's been people who've been calling for transparency and that kind of thing, which is a laudable objective, but obviously this is an investigation that's been conducted involving a few people. You can't go throwing around details about what the claimant said, for example. So, as you said, we have to take it on trust. That doesn't mean we have to completely buy it automatically and say everything's fine. You keep an eye out, see what's said, see what happens. But that's the thing.
This is the situation.
This is the situation we're in, because we can't talk about the investigation, what's in it. I hope they have taken it seriously. I hope they've done it properly, because this stuff has to be taken seriously and executed in a correct and fair way.
I think it was Max Verstappen who said in the press conference today that he was trusting the process, and you might not like it, and it's difficult to take things on trust, as I said before, but that is what we need to do as well. You need to trust the process in these things, and I'm sure that there are people that will doubt that it was done properly. They'll doubt the outcome and what they can believe, and if they didn't, and unless they have the report in front of them, you are taking things on faith rather than actually buying into it. I understand that. I agree to a certain extent, and I hope that the way that we're coming across right now isn't it's not about being defensive. It's not about justifying what Red Bull's done. It's not about trying to just say that's it, Horner's off the hook, everything's okay, and that there's no area of grey in any of this. I hope it just reflects this is an incredibly awkward situation. It has been throughout, and just because the process has ended, it doesn't mean we now get to say whatever we want. We could do, but I think we'd be doing people a disservice by pretending that we know more than we do, and two, by shoveling speculation down their throat, which is by any measure going to be massively wide of the mark. The only thing we can say with certainty is he remains as team principal and CEO, and in the phrasing of that document, the grievance has been dismissed.
Yeah, exactly. And the one wider thing is, hopefully there's also a lesson here to the wider world of Formula One to make sure everybody takes their workplace practices seriously and the way they treat people seriously across the board. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think just to pick up on a point that you made in previously about hoping that this was taken seriously, I think the fact that Red Bull, the parent company, got involved, the fact that they took it out of Red Bull Racing's hands, because how often do you see things, not necessarily of this exact manner, but various disciplinary issues, conduct issues, whatever, it becomes an internal matter and we're dealing with this internally, and that's a way of sweeping it under the rug. I think the fact that Red Bull outsourced this and had it as an external investigation with a proper, qualified, relevant individual leading it, and the fact that this took a long time. I think we found out about this, and I say we as the collective, we found out of this, was it 3 weeks ago now, the week before the Red Bull car launch, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it was going on in the background a long time before that. And I think the sum total of the time spent on this is probably coming close to 2 months. And I understand why some people might think, oh, it's very convenient that this has just been wrapped up on the eve of the new season. And I suspect that to a degree it has been expedited to try, because this has been hanging over Red Bull for a long time and there has been so much speculation. But I don't believe the investigation, the process itself, was hurried up. I would hope that the only thing that was expedited was Red Bull's directors meeting and actually coming to a conclusion on it and deciding on it. The process itself seems to have been quite thorough. There's some stuff that we do just simply have to trust. The one thing I would say about what we could learn from now on is Christian Horner told us several times at the launch, and then again when he appeared in the test last week, he couldn't talk about this while the process was ongoing. I suspect he can't tell us much more now that the process is finished because of that confidentiality that Red Bull stressed the importance of. But maybe Horner will start to sort of provide a few more details when he finally emerges, because he's here in Bahrain. He wasn't in the paddock today, but he will be back in the paddock tomorrow, which is Thursday as we sit here and record this.
Well, it's going to remain a talking point and a subject of questions, isn't it? That's emphatically going to be the case.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
We'll get back to the pod in a moment, but first, a word about our partner, Grammarly. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done, and Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. I know from experience that Grammarly can help you save time on any writing task and ensure you feel confident about what you've produced. In fact, 96% of Grammarly's users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing, and their tone suggestions can help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done. Right, Scott, there was speculation about Horner's future being in doubt, regardless of whether or not he was cleared. So what do we actually know about his position now?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, he is team principal and CEO, and my understanding is that there's no doubt about that. There's no disputing that. So Horner should be, I've made some predictions on the podcast before that have bit me in the backside pretty quickly, but I'd be surprised if Horner is not in the paddock tomorrow, Red Bull team gear, team spokesperson, front and centre again. And my suspicion is we will hear from him sooner rather than later, because he will want to address this now that it is resolved, and resolved in his favour. The reason there is there was a little bit of wider doubt, we can get onto this as well, is that there's been talk for quite a while now of some politics going on within the Red Bull F1 empire, and a bit of a power struggle emerging between the Red Bull Racing side in Milton Keynes, led by Horner, and then Red Bull centrally in Austria. And I think where that comes from is Horner's power base has grown quite significantly over the course of this team's existence. There's now an entire engine facility that exists, for example. The second Red Bull team, RB, now has a place on the, or will soon have, sorry, a place on the Milton Keynes campus. And with F1 being what it is, and in the way that Red Bull sets out its stall and shapes its post-Dietrich Mateschitz future since he died in late 2022, I get the impression that there's a desire for Red Bull to have this F1 team more under its remit, because Red Bull Racing has used the Red Bull name and existed. Red Bull Racing has used the Red Bull name but pretty much existed out of its remit for the last couple of decades. That was the beauty of what Mateschitz did with this organization and this program. He just let it be what it, he put people in charge who knew what they were doing, and he left them to it. I don't think Red Bull now, the post-Mateschitz Red Bull, is quite comfortable with that and wants to take a bit of it back. I think we do need to view that separately to what's happened here, because as we say, serious claim, investigated properly, taken seriously. But it is possible that this has expedited or brought to the fore some tensions that were bubbling away in the background.
Well, exactly. When there's politics involved and this sort of thing flares up, inevitably that becomes a sort of second order thing. And I think it's worth noting as well that, as well as the kind of Red Bull F1 ecosystem and the Austrian Red Bull side, there's also the Thai Red Bull side, which is the majority owner of Red Bull. The Austrian side is the minority owner. It's not a huge difference in the ownership, but obviously Mateschitz had the controlling management control of the whole thing. But there's quite a complicated set of politics across the board there, which is interesting. But I guess we have to assume that now this has been dealt with, and as we mentioned earlier, there's still ways it could flare up again if there's an appeal, this kind of thing. But it's got to hopefully have put any destabilizing effect on the actual race team, the Red Bull technology, Red Bull Racing, all that kind of thing, side of the operation. That would have settled it down, because if you're somebody working for that team and you don't know what's going to happen, that's going to have a little bit of an effect, even if it's just in the back of your mind. So this will have settled things down.
It will have, yeah, definitely. I think the stuff I'm talking about is obviously playing out in the sort of medium longer term. So what happens in terms of, is this sort of one serious situation faced for Horner, but he knows there's another battle sort of happening in the background and that could come to the fore shortly, but that is much bigger picture. In the short term, it seems very unlikely that Red Bull will be impacted by this, given Horner being cleared is the exact opposite of him being removed from the position, and that's what would have been the potentially enormous immediate destabiliser. Clearly, Horner has said several times, hasn't he, through this, that it's been business as normal for Red Bull. And actually, in terms of the preparation for the season and in what they've been doing with their car, that has clearly been the case, because they've developed what looks like a fantastic racing car extremely well. It looked fantastic in the test last week. The team was well organised at the test. It executed things flawlessly. Trackside, there's been zero indication of destabilisation while this has been hanging over them. So it shouldn't have any impact now that it is, as best we can see it, resolved, because now it will be their leader is in place. They know what they're doing in the short term. There's no awkward questions and treading on eggshells about the place at all. They can just get on with the task at hand.
And obviously this has been a weird story for F1 as a whole. There's all this speculation and publicity, and we've had statements from Ford and F1, the FIA. There were suggestions from Lewis Hamilton today that the whole investigation was a really big moment for F1. We should note that was before he knew what the outcome was and what was actually talked about. But how did you find it today in the paddock, given everyone knew the conclusion was likely coming towards the end of the day?
A little bit strange in that there's an almost, in some quarters, there's almost like a slightly unfair and slightly strange, almost like hunger and anticipation for it, because it's such a big story. And I always feel that's a little bit awkward, because one way or the other, there were going to be people at the heart of this that were going to be impacted because one way or the other, there were going to be people at the heart of this impacted by whatever the outcome was. But there was just, one of the big things was there was just a lot of fascination. I use that word carefully because I don't want it to sound too positive, in what exactly the outcome would be because of the impact of it. Because if Horner hadn't been cleared, if the complaint, if the grievance hadn't been dismissed, presumably he then gets removed from the role. If he gets removed from the role, the number of times this today I heard a version of scorched earth policy, or he knows where the skeletons are, and that kind of thing. So people were thinking, like, well, if Horner goes down, he's going to go down swinging, that kind of thing. That's where this kind of story takes parts of the F1 paddock. It does become this much bigger thing, and I understand that. I understand there's like a natural, almost human curiosity, isn't there, with anything like this. But one of the things we've said, as boring as it may have sounded to whenever it has cropped up briefly on the podcast or when people in the paddock have asked us, is we have tried to be a bit more middle of the road with it, because there was a process going on that had to be respected. We don't know the details. We still don't know the details, and getting caught up in that speculation can easily make you lose sight of what was actually important about this whole thing.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. I must admit, although it was hanging over the day, during the actual day, it wasn't particularly in my mind. Yeah, there were conversations cropping up about it, but there was lots of other stuff to have done and be doing, and talking to people about there's going to be a Grand Prix this weekend.
Yeah, I understand why, you know, because it has been a highly unusual situation, and the unusual nature of it was probably exacerbated by the fact that Horner has still been front and centre while it's going on. If he'd recused himself while it was going on, then it would have played out completely in the background. Yeah, he would have been notable for his absence at certain times. If there had been another Red Bull representative in a team boss press conference or speaking to the Sky F1 cameras or something like that, you'd have had those moments. But it would have played out a little bit more quietly. So yeah, I think ultimately it has it's flared up in certain ways over the last couple of weeks, but there were times today where it felt like we're on the eve of the season, focus is elsewhere. You get the questions in the press conference and stuff like that that brings it to the fore, but this wasn't something that was on everybody's lips for every minute of the day. There was also the broader excitement about getting the season going, and then some other, you know, testing stories and specific things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And at least it means these statements can now stop, although it'll be down to those entities to satisfy themselves that they're happy with the way this process has been done. Obviously, I think Ford talked about wanting to have updates and transparency. Obviously, the FIA and
FIA. Yeah, they waded in quite fiercely, didn't they, Ford?
Exactly, yeah. So there's still some loose ends to be tied up there, and I suspect Red Bull will have to be a little bit more forthcoming to some of their partners about it. But again, it still comes down to this being a process-driven thing. There's an investigation, there's individuals involved, so their privacy also has to be respected.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Right, while the Horner story was the big talking point, there was plenty going on at the track today. What grabbed your attention? And I'm asking you this not necessarily entirely knowing, because we run around doing various things and obviously our paths do cross during the day, but we haven't had our end of day download of each other, as it were.
No, this got in the way of that, absolutely. I was curious going into today, just to sort of pick up on a couple of testing threads that just felt like they were a little bit unresolved, and we'll just get a bit more clued up on. So I was quite interested to find out a couple of things about a couple of teams, relatively small. One example being I wanted to learn a bit more about the Williams car characteristics, because that they seem to have transformed from last season. There's weaknesses that are now strengths, like that under braking, the in combination corner entries with steering lock and braking applied. That now seems to be a Williams strong point, not a weakness anymore, but it's come at the cost of some rear-end instability further round the corner, for example. And then McLaren was interesting because Lando Norris said during the press conference that he said something along the lines of certain things have happened that means we're not where I want us to be or we want to be as a team for the start of the season. And I think that's about they've made progress with their weaknesses, but not enough to cure their weaknesses at a track like this, which exposes them so much. This is slow corner performance and whatnot. And they felt that if they'd got to the end of last season and done Bahrain, they would have also have been weak. So there's still room to improve, and this is where some upgrades early in the season will come. But I think there were smaller threads like that, and then I think the overall kind of there was an almost anticipation of we're about to get some answers. So these media days are always a little bit of an anticlimax, because you're in the paddock and it feels like day one proper, but it's not really. It's kind of day zero of the new season.
Exactly, yeah. Nothing new has happened since testing other than a lot of number crunching and analysis going on back at the factory. And there's been a lot of work going on. For example, George Russell was saying that he and Hamilton were there doing work in the sim over the weekend. They had a big team meeting on the Monday as well after the test. So lots of work ongoing. But yeah, a few interesting things today. Went to see what the two Alpine drivers, Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly, had to say. And they're trying to be as positive as they can, but it's not a tremendously positive situation for Alpine. They're trying to accentuate the positives insofar as it's a change in concept. We're obviously going to take some time to learn the car, but we're confident there's some good long-term future. But yeah, I tried to get both of them to explain why they were confident that there's good long-term potential in this, given they've missed targets. And it was interesting because Ocon was kind of on his absolute best behaviour. He was very, very, very on message. Pierre Gasly was too, but with Gasly, I found if you put something emphatically to him, he would accept it or agree with you. So, for example, I said to him, right, you say you're confident in the concept, but it's abundantly clear you've missed targets. This team has missed targets. How concerning is that? And so he said, well, yeah, we have missed targets. He also was, he was asked about the car balance and he said, didn't say too much about it. But I said, well, I've been watching this car trackside. It doesn't look like a good car to drive. Throughout the whole 3 days of running, it's not looked good. And he did then say, he sort of thought and smiled and went,
I can't hide. Yeah, you've seen it.
It's not an easy car to drive. So I thought Gasly was quite clever in that he wasn't saying anything he shouldn't have done. But if a correct observation or bit of information was presented to him, he would accept it. So I think Alpine are in trouble. They don't expect to get out of Q1. There is a lot of work to do. That car's overweight. It's not working that well aero-wise. I'm quite concerned, actually. Yes, it's a changing concept, but it's not doing what it should do. So it is going to be a really tough start to the season for Alpine. Elsewhere, George Russell was very upbeat. He said that the rear-end instability they'd had is cured, which I thought was quite strong. So I then asked him, well, you said cured. How confident are you in that absolute? And he gave quite a good answer. He said, yeah, we think this has gone. There's nothing in anything we've done to say that problem is still there.
That's really interesting. Emphatic. But especially before we go into a race weekend and have actually run the car low fuel, softest tyres, and actually pushed it to the limit in qualifying.
Exactly, yeah. And he said, well, there's obviously left room for the unexpected. But he said, even though obviously this isn't the perfect track to expose that, I did say, what would it be like if you tomorrow took it into Sector 1 at Suzuka, which would not be a good place for the old characteristics of that car. So he was really positive about that, which is convincing. And in fact, he said, actually, it's so much better. We've got so much control of it that we actually had too much stability at times in the test and we were having understeer as a result. So that's all part of the learning process, the relearning process, a very different car. But he did say they had a few bouncing problems in testing. Now, this isn't 2022 style Mercedes in crisis bouncing and porpoising. It's just the thing that people do encounter if they go a little bit too low, run a bit too stiff, that kind of thing.
That car was running very low at times.
And they were doing setup experiments. So Russell was saying we need to watch out for that. So let's see where that is. And also Charles Leclerc was pretty upbeat, confident the car will be stronger in the races. He did say they've still got some work to do on low speed performance. I did ask him to elaborate a bit on that, and he said, well, it's just the understeer, basically, which he did say, yeah, that's the generic problem with this era of cars. But certainly he gave the indication they don't think they're the market leader in the sort of slow corner entry, getting being able to attack the corner as you want to. Still a little bit of understeer there, but still fairly confident. So it's all very interesting. The feeling is still Red Bull is going to be ahead, but there's questions in that group behind and questions of how close will they be. There's a lot to happen this season. I don't think people should be giving up on it yet.
No, it's going to be interesting. We obviously get our first answers tomorrow, day one proper. We'll be going trackside, won't we, to see these cars in anger in the FP2 qualifying simulation. So it'll be I'm really interested to see what we learn from that. I bumped into Carlos Sainz on the way out of the track today, and I asked him, are you going to give us a more fun season this year? And he smiled and he said, I think it'll be better. So I'm hoping it'll be a lot better, and then we'll find out tomorrow if we're edging closer. Then this weekend we'll actually get the answers if Red Bull's actually got a close threat.
Well, attention now turns to the Bahrain Grand Prix weekend proper. Remember, it's a Saturday race, so free practice on Thursday, qualifying on Friday. And of course, we'll hear more from Christian Horner and Red Bull later in the weekend. So that's it from day one, or day zero, if you like, at Sakhir Circuit. So stay with us for everything you need to know from the F1 2024 season opener.
The Athletic.